Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in Scott Lauber now. It's always great to talk baseball with him. Scott, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Doing really well today. The Phillies are playing a little bit better right now. Why?
For me, it all comes back to starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a little while there, we were a little distracted because Trey Turner's slump lasted longer than anybody expected, and Schwarber was hitting 170, and it was Memorial Day, and everybody was wondering what was going on there and would he come around. But to me, the offense was always going to score runs. Turner was not going to be that bad long. June was right around the corner, and we know what happens to Schwarber in June. He turns into Babe Ruth, right? So I thought that the offense would be just fine. I think the key to the whole thing has been back-to-back really good starts from Zach Wheeler. Four, Ranger Suarez. Back-to-back good starts from Taijuan Walker. So the rotation has kind of steadied itself, and I think, you know, it's no coincidence that with that they've won 9 out of 11 and gotten back to 500. I think it all starts with the rotation, and I think ultimately that's what's going to get them on the kind of roll they need to get on, you know, 18 out of 22 or you know, something like that, to kind of climb right back to where they want to be, sort of in a more of a pole position to try to win the wild card or climb back into the division race with Atlanta.
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, to me the most important thing is just get into the tournament, then you can do some damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Phillies proved that last year, especially with this third wild card, and we could get into the trade deadline, which is coming up in 7 weeks, and why it, you know, it's shaping up to be, from everyone I talk to, quite a seller's market, because, you know, I think you have a lot of teams out there who look at the 2022 Phillies and say, like, we could do that. I mean, we could be the last team in and make a run, you know, and if we're close in the wild card, you know, it pays to stay in it and maybe try to add and not subtract. And there are a lot of teams that are hovering right around that last wild card right now who think that they can do that. So, absolutely, getting in the tournament is really all that counts. And, you know, I mean, sure, you'd like to set up your rotation and get everything squared away so that you can win that first round and keep going. But, you know, getting in is the hard part. And if you can survive the 162 games and get in, you know, the Phillies showed last year that, you know, anything can happen in a short tournament.
Has the bullpen, and I'm talking about innings 6 through 8, has that become any better?
Yeah, I mean, look, I for me, the bullpen has been, and maybe this is sort of damning them with faint praise, but I mean, I think the bullpen has been the strength of the team, or at least the most consistent part of the team for most of the year. The offense has come and gone a bit, certainly a bit more than expected, and the rotation, you know, had some issues earlier on, and, you know, still does with the fifth starter being unsettled. But look, I think more often than not, you know, some combination of Alvarado, Kimbrel, Soto, and Dominguez is going to get outs late in games for them. And, you know, look, I know that last night Dominguez struggled, gave up the tying home run. They had to win it in the ninth. You know, and so they've all had some moments here or there, maybe with the exception of Alvarado. They've all had some moments here or there where they've struggled a bit. But, you know, Kimbrel's pitched really well, really now for the last month and a half or so. Alvarado is back from his injury. He missed a month. He is back now, and, you know, if last night was any indication, throwing as hard as ever. I mean, I think he was, you know, 100 and 101 pretty much on every pitch last night in the ninth inning. So he was clearly kind of amped up. I think Soto has been, you know, more good than bad. Same overall with Dominguez, more good than bad. So I think that foursome at the back is how they're going to get the last, you know, couple of innings of games figured out. And then, you know, I think they've got what they consider to be some flexibility in the middle. You know, they've gotten surprising performances from people like Andrew Vasquez and Jeff Hoffman, you know, people that they didn't really count on earlier on in the year. In Hoffman's case, you know, he was in AAA, didn't even come to spring training with them. They acquired him after spring training. And, you know, so, I mean, they've gotten some surprising contributions there in the middle. But really, I think what you're talking about are those power guys at the back. And, you know, I think they have more depth there than most teams.
Baseball, a general question here. It does go a little bit to the Phillies. But you'll get to points now where they'll say it's a bullpen game tonight. Even in the playoffs, it's a bullpen game today. Why can't teams find fifth starters any longer?
It's a good question, you know. I mean, look, I think that some teams just feel like the bullpen strategy every fifth day it makes sense for them. I don't. I mean, look, JT Realmuto said it the other night. He said, the hard part about a bullpen game is that you're asking five, six pitchers to all be on at the same, you know, on the same night. That's not always going to happen. In fact, most of the time, it's not going to happen. So, you know, to me, the traditional way to win a game, to send your starting pitcher out there, have them give you some distance as much as they can, and then turn the game over to the bullpen is still a tried and true way of trying to win. I think the Phillies, probably, if we're being honest here, I think they miscalculated a little bit. I think they thought coming out of last season that they could fill out the back of their rotation internally, whether it was with Andrew Painter, whether it was with Bailey Falter, Christopher Sanchez, maybe even, you know, Griff McGarry. What has happened is some of those guys got hurt, in Painter's case and Sanchez's case. In spring training, he was beat up a little bit and didn't really have a full spring. In some cases, they've underperformed badly, like in Falter's case. So, you know, they just didn't have as much depth as they thought they had, and they miscalculated. So unless you're going to go and sign a veteran guy to be your quote-unquote fifth starter for $10 or $12 million, which they didn't see the need to do. I mean, they could have gone and found this year's Kyle Gibson, right, who signed for $10 million with the Orioles and, you know, gives you innings at the back of your rotation. They decided not to do that. They thought they'd have the depth, and they miscalculated. Other teams just feel like it makes more sense for them to kind of stockpile as many arms as they can and get through games that way. So, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'd much rather have five guys I know I can trust. I'd really rather have six or seven guys that I know I can trust throughout the year. I just think it makes it a whole lot easier to get through that fifth day when you've got a real starting pitcher.
I agree with you completely. You brought up Schwarber, and yes, Schwarber turns into Babe Ruth at a certain point, but he'd been hovering mostly around 170, 180 to this point while still hitting home runs. What has been just a bit off with him in terms of the all-around approach at the plate? Because the home runs are there.
Yeah, it's he's had a really weird year because the home runs are there. So are the walks. You know, his walk rate is higher than it's been in most years in his career. So what it tells me is he's still hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He's still drawing his walks. So I guess he's making less contact overall. And we know that to be true because he just hasn't gotten as many hits. Some of it's been bad luck. You know, I haven't looked in the last week or so, but when I looked last week, he had the lowest batting average on balls in play of anybody, of any qualified hitter, you know, hitter with enough at-bats to qualify for the batting title. He was hitting like 170 on balls in play. That tells me he's hitting some bad luck. You know, he's hit the ball right at people. He's hit it hard. His contact rate, or I should say his hard hit rate, is still relatively high, which tells me that he's barreling the ball, but they're just not falling for hits. You'd like to think that that would sort of equalize at the end of the year, you know, that they do start to fall for him. I'm a little bit surprised, and I wrote about this last week, that the lack of, you know, the removal of the shift has not resulted in more hits for him. And I think talking to him and in talking to their hitting people, Kevin Long and Rob Thompson, the manager, you know, it may be that he's just not the type of hitter who's going to benefit from, you know, taking a guy out of shallow right field, because Schwarber is not a dead pole hitter. He does hit the ball up the middle. He does hit the ball to all fields. He also does not hit the ball on the ground a whole lot, nor do I think you want him to hit the ball on the ground a lot. So he's not going to hit a whole lot of balls that sneak through that four hole and go for a hit that otherwise would have been gobbled up by an extra defender on that side. So he hasn't benefited from the shift. He's hitting to some bad luck. And, you know, but they've thought all along, the fact that the walk rate is up, the fact that he's still hitting the ball out of the ballpark, that those are good signs, and that, you know, ultimately it'll turn for him. I mean, it's middle of June, right? So he's not going to end up hitting, you know, 250, 260 and having a year where you look back and you go, wow, the batting average was there. But if the on-base percentage stays high, if the hard hit rate stays high, I think it's going to turn a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that average creep up, you know, closer to 200, a little over 200, and have a little bit more of a representative Schwarber kind of year.
Obviously, you saw a lot of Trey Turner when he was with the Nationals. Now you get to see him on an everyday basis. How has he been?
You know, I mean, look, if we're grading on a, you know, overall scale, it's been disappointing, right? I mean, it's been not what they expected. It's been a whole lot better lately. You know, I think lately you've seen him be more of the dynamic player that you've known him to be over the years. You know, he's running more. That was kind of the real mystery to me, and I think we've talked about this, is that he wasn't running a lot earlier in the year, and I know he wasn't getting on base as often as he normally does, which is the biggest reason probably why the steal total was down. But, you know, even when he was on base, he wasn't running quite as often. I think some of it had to do with the fact that he had Harper hitting behind him. When Harper was hurt and still out, he had Schwarber hitting behind him. So there were situations where he didn't want to run because he wanted to keep that hole open on the right side of the field for those guys to hit the ball through. So, I mean, there's been some, you know, it's fallen a little bit short overall, but like lately and over the last couple of weeks, it's been much more the kind of player that that they've known. Like, I don't think this was ever a, you know, Nick Castellanos 2.0 situation from last year where, you know, where Turner felt uncomfortable here, or he felt, you know, ill at ease for whatever reason, whether it was the contract or anything. He never got that sense from him. If anything, I thought he blended well into the clubhouse in spring training. I thought, you know, he had a lot of familiar faces here, guys who he's played with before, like Harper, guys who he's played for, like Kevin Long in Washington was his hitting coach. So I think he's felt comfortable. He just hasn't played well until the last couple of weeks. And I think maybe that's starting to turn. You know, that can only be a good thing for the Phillies overall moving forward.
Scott, you and I have been around a lot of players during the course of our careers where, you know, look, they're tough guys. No matter what, they're going to get themselves out there and play. And then you and I have been around guys where, gee, I feel a twinge, I can't go tonight. And the twinge lasts for weeks.
Okay. Sure.
And then there's Bryce Harper.
Right.
What can you say about Harper, and what has his level of performance been? Because let's face it, he's still trying to fight through something.
Well, I think the biggest thing he's trying to fight through is rust. You know, he didn't have a spring training, so he kind of warned about that. You know, in terms of coming back. Like, I remember in April having a conversation with him in Cincinnati, and it really hadn't crystallized yet that he was going to beat the timeline by as much as he did. I think he was just starting to hit on the field. You know, you could tell that he was getting closer, but we didn't know it was going to be that close. And he said, like, I think that was when he, you know, we talked a little bit about the idea of going out on a rehab assignment. He said he didn't want to do that because he felt like when he was ready, he wanted to just jump right in and play. He didn't feel like he needed or wanted to go down to AAA and, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, just waste time getting at bats down there. Like, he felt like if I can play, I want to play with the Phillies and try to help them win right away, which is what he did, right? I mean, no spring training, no rehab assignment. You know, I think back to that night in Los Angeles when he came back, comes back to face Julio Urias, who is as tough a lefty as there is in the National League. I think he went 0-for-4 and struck out three times and looked very jumpy and was swinging in a lot of pitches. And then, you know, the next night he comes out and he gets on base five times, and I think he had three or four hits. And, you know, you're like, is this guy even a human? You know, how is it possible that he's doing this? So, I mean, I think that there's been, not that dramatic, but, you know, there's been some inconsistency from game to game because he's still kind of working his way back. He's essentially a month and a half into his year. So, you know, he's probably, you know, he's you know, if this was, if you could transpose, the, you know, the at-bats that he's had and put them into a normal year, he's like a few weeks into the season in a normal year. So I think he's still going through some of that. But, you know, look, he's obviously an elite player, an elite hitter. Scott Boras likes to call him a centurion, which I believe means one of the 100 best to ever do it or to ever do something. You know, and he might be. He might be that good. He's probably a Hall of Famer. He's on course to be a Hall of Famer. You know, and so what we're seeing him do, the degree of difficulty is pretty high. And I think overall it's been good. Now the question now is, you know, can they get him on the field to play a position, and when will that happen? And, you know, that's not something that they're going to rush through. He does do his work every day at first base, which it looks like maybe where he comes back to when he does come back, mm-hmm. and come back to play first base. And, you know, the last thing they want to do, though, is rush that process and then he has some sort of setback and then he can't hit. So they don't want to take any chances. They don't want to move too quickly. Maybe sometime after the All-Star break, you know, he'll be able to kind of, you know, accelerate the throwing program and throw to bases and stuff like that, and then get out there, play a position. It would enable them to DH Schwarber. It would enable them to maybe look in a lot of different areas when it comes to the trade deadline. Now maybe they can look at a corner outfielder, or they can look, you know, in a lot of different places. So that's the next hurdle to clear. But, yeah, I mean, I think overall they'd have to say they're thrilled to have him back, to have him hitting at the level that he's hitting at, and to be in the middle of that lineup. You know, when they talked about when he had the surgery and they talked about, you know, he'd be back by the All-Star break, you think about it, we're in the middle of June, and there was a time we were wondering if he'd be back by now. So not only is he back, he's been back for over a month, month and a half now, and, you know, I think overall they're pretty thrilled with how it's all gone.
That's why he's a star. He wants to be out there. Scott, always a pleasure. Love your work. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.